Welcome to Theory of Pets. I'm a passionate pet owner with a drive to help others like me uncover the truth about the pet industry and what goes on behind the scenes. Hello, everyone, and welcome back for episode 8 of Theory of Pets. I am so glad that you guys are back with me today to talk about a really important topic that I don't think gets discussed enough in the pet industry. And I think that we really need to work on helping to spread the education about pet diabetes. And today we're going to be specifically focusing on canine diabetes and feline diabetes. But, you know, the topic of pet diabetes just doesn't come up really until your dog is or your cat is diagnosed. And I think pet parents don't know what signs to look for. And I think a lot of people think, you know, if my dog was diagnosed with diabetes, that's it. My life's over. I have, you know, to be around to do the blood sugar testing and give my dog insulin. And I'm either going to have to take him with me everywhere or, you know, stop doing things. I'm not going to be able to work outside the home. That's simply not true. And it is a lot of information. It's extremely overwhelming. There are things that you're going to need to do to make sure that your pet has what he needs, but it's not going to change your life. It'll take a little bit of planning and you'll need to spend a little bit of time educating yourself and working with your veterinary team to figure out what's best for your pet. But it's certainly not something that will change your life or your pet's life. Lots of animals can live a very long, healthy, happy life after a diagnosis of diabetes as long as their owner is willing to work with the veterinary team and do what's best for the animal. So today I was able to talk with Rachel Pullen, and she is a registered veterinary technician at Capital Veterinary Services. Rachel loves to teach, and she is passionate about educating and enforcing a higher expectation in our standards of care and client education too in the veterinary field because, you know, like I said, things like canine diabetes or feline diabetes, you know, people aren't educated about that until their pet's actually diagnosed and it becomes a problem and an issue in their life. So they become educated, but really we should be educated before that so that we know the signs to look for. Rachel actually speaks internationally on internal medicine topics, as well as general patient care and client education. She is currently the president of the Academy of Internal Medicine Veterinary Technicians. So I wanted to speak with her today to get a little bit of information about diabetes and also to talk about a new app that's released that could really be a huge help for anybody with a pet, any kind of a pet that's been diagnosed with diabetes. It's a tracker, basically, that you can input information into. And we've all used different apps that track different things from stuff for ourselves, you know, maybe the food we eat, the exercise that we do, and also the things for our pets. So this new app that is out is called Pet Dialogue, and it's Pet Dialogue is all one word, the Pet Dialogue app. And it supports the interaction between the pet owner and the veterinarian. So Rachel's had some time to play around with it a little bit, and she actually uses it in her practice. So I wanted to speak with her about that and get some information for you guys. So I'm going to go ahead and let you listen to the interview, and then I will come back and recap for you in a little bit. Thank you so much for being here, Rachel. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm very, very excited about getting the words out about diabetic care.
Yeah, I think, you know, canine diabetes is something that just isn't talked about a lot unless your dog has diabetes. And I think, you know, a lot of pet parents don't really think about it until their dog's not feeling well and they go to the vet and they're diagnosed. And then that's when they start trying to learn about it and get as much education as possible. But it is a growing issue in, I guess, pets, but, you know, we're talking about specifically dogs. And I think it's something that all pet owners should be aware of even before maybe they jump into owning a pet. It's just something that maybe should be in the back of their mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I'm frequently told by owners that they didn't even know their pets could get diabetes, but they didn't even realize that this was an issue that pets could possibly struggle with until they get the diagnosis. And there are so many diseases that humans get that animals can always struggle with, and you're absolutely right. Diabetes is a huge prevalent one. I believe the latest statistics is 1 in 5 dogs and 1 in 4 cats.
Wow.
will be affected by diabetes mellitus.
Now, is it something that they kind of grow into? What's like the average age that dogs are or cats are diagnosed with diabetes?
It's more prevalent in female dogs than male dogs. In cats, I would have to get those numbers to you. I don't have them off the top of my head. And in terms of age, we're sort of looking at younger to middle-aged dogs, like maybe 5, 6, 7, 8, sort of in there. But that's the typical. You know, we always have the dogs that defy the statistics no matter what. But that would be sort of female dogs middle-aged is normally the typical what we see.
Is there a reason that it's more common in female dogs?
I can't answer that. I actually am not particularly sure. They definitely have different hormone physiology and biochemistry, which can make them a little more vulnerable to pancreatitis, hormone issues, stuff like that. But in terms of the actual pathophysiology between a male and a female, I couldn't actually tell you why the females seem to be more prevalent than the males. That doesn't necessarily mean that the males don't get it, because they do. It's just a little more common in the females.
Yeah, that's just interesting. And I know there are some things like obesity that can kind of add to, you know, the risk of diabetes. But are there other things that would stick out as like risk factors? Are there certain breeds maybe that are more prevalent?
Absolutely. So obesity is a big one. Obesity makes us, just like in humans, it makes them insulin resistant. So the insulin doesn't work quite as well in the body as it should because of the fat. And other factors are lack of exercise, which also lends itself to obesity. Diet plays a big part in it, just like humans. If your dog or cat is not getting a good, well-balanced diet, they can become more at risk for diabetes. Dogs, particularly as they age, if they develop pancreatitis, which can happen for a variety of different reasons, and I can certainly go into detail with you on that, they can develop diabetes because the pancreas doesn't work as efficiently, it doesn't produce enough insulin, or the body becomes insulin resistant. So there's all different kinds of ways that it can happen, and I've seen it happen every way. I've seen it happen where it's because of obesity or because of pancreatitis, but those are the two big ones that can cause diabetes. And sometimes it's none of those. Sometimes it is just the luck of the draw.
Sure.
Some breeds are more predisposed to it. Schnauzers are more predisposed to diabetes. Bichons, Yorkies. And there are some bigger breeds that I see, but those are the big ones. So unfortunately, sometimes it's the luck of the draw, the luck of the breed, and the dog's not obese at all and doesn't have pancreatitis and she's perfectly fine. And then one day you find out your dog has diabetes. But there are things that you can do to sort of decrease the risk. Keep your dog fit, give it a good, healthy diet, plenty of exercise.
So if somebody has maybe one of the breeds that are more prone or their dog's obese, what are some of the signs maybe that they should be keeping an eye out for if they are worried about canine diabetes?
When I do my lecturing on canine and feline diabetes, and I'm teaching other nurses how to treat and how to recognize, the first thing I tell them is excessive water consumption and excessive peeing. That's going to probably be one of the very, very first things you see. Now, this is not necessarily diagnostic for diabetes because there's other diseases that can cause that, for example, Cushing's disease, but it is definitely a red flag that should bring you into the hospital for a test of some sort.
Okay.
They're also extremely hungry. Diabetic dogs, they never feel full. Where, dogs in general don't really feel satiated. They always kind of want to eat, right? But diabetic dogs take it to another level. The difference is if you have an uncontrolled diabetic in your house and you're not aware of it, They're going to be drinking and peeing more, probably having accidents in your house, and they're going to be eating a lot, but they won't be gaining weight. In fact, they could be losing weight. And those are usually the signs when they come into the clinic and they say something's off. They're peeing all over the place. I'm pretty sure he's losing weight. I've never seen him so hungry. As soon as I hear things like that, I test the glucose.
And that's just a simple blood test that can be done at your veterinarian's office.
Yes, the blood glucose, and we use the AlphaTrack because it's animal calibrated for a dog or a cat. That will tell us the reading of the blood sugar in real time. It won't tell us necessarily what it's been doing, how long the animal's been diabetic, and it doesn't eliminate the need of a full workup. But in real time, you bring your dog in and I take his blood sugar and it's 350, I know we're heading towards a diabetic track.
Mm-hmm. So let's just say somebody brings their dog in. He is diagnosed diabetic. I know a lot of people hear diabetes and they immediately think of needles and insulin. I'm sure obviously it's going to depend on the severity of the condition at the time. But what can a dog owner kind of expect to be doing now for their dog after they're diagnosed?
Well, the number one treatment for diabetes is insulin. If there is a situation where insulin can't be given, then we need to figure out how to fix that. Because if we can't get insulin into the animal will not thrive. And it will continue to suffer from the disease. So any pet owner that is diagnosed, that has an animal diagnosed with diabetes needs to just expect that insulin needs to be given, just like in people. We don't, if you're diagnosed with insulin-dependent diabetes, which is what our dogs and cats get, then yes, of course, you're going to have to give insulin. Now, the difference between dogs and cats is cats sometimes go into a diabetic remission, and they can get to a point where they no longer are insulin dependent, and that requires monitoring, again, checking glucose and stuff like that. Dogs are usually always insulin dependent, so dog owners should expect to be checking glucoses, be giving insulin, be very strict about diet. It is a commitment. It is a time commitment. It can be a monetary commitment, but they can live perfectly normal lives as long as the medical team and that owner communicate well with each other and the dog is getting all of the medical requirements that it needs.
And for checking glucose, would that be a blood test? Like I know with humans, you know, the pricking of the finger and, you know, you have the little monitor. Is it similar in dogs?
Yes, absolutely. There are a couple of different monitors out there. I've only ever used the AlphaTrack because it requires the least amount of blood. And normally I get it on the ear, the inside of the ear. I had one client that had a cat that was diabetic, and she always used the cat's pad, and every night at 7 o'clock at night, it would jump up on the counter, lay down on its belly, and they would have their little moment of getting the blood sugar, and it takes a couple of seconds once you get the hang of it, but it's very similar to humans. You know, human diabetics, they take their blood sugar several times a day, so in our clinic, we do advocate that our animals are tracked, their blood sugars are tracked, dogs and cats.
So I think this is a good time now to talk a little bit about the Pet Dialogue app, because this is something that seems to be really new and very innovative in, you know, the veterinary field.
Yeah. So the app, I've had a chance to play with it and talk to the people, some of the people that helped make it. I really like it. I've been teaching diabetes to nurses and also teaching clients for several years. And one of the biggest issues that have come along is the tracking and owners interpreting results and getting questions to us and trying to figure out how to bridge the gap when you're at home and you get an abnormal reading. What do? How do I get my results to you in a timely manner? Do we need to increase this? Do we need to decrease this? And we always tell our pet owners, please don't change insulin administration units without, you know, our consent or without the doctor telling you to do so. With this app, you put in the readings as you get them, and you can send those readings directly to your doctor's office. I was playing around with it today. I put in a couple of different, I created a diabetic animal. I put in some high readings, I put in some regular readings, and then just to see what would happen, I put in a very, very low reading, and it alerted me that the reading was dangerously low and I should call my hospital. And that's very important, because when you're in the office and you're talking to the client, they get very, it's so easy to get overwhelmed with a diabetic diagnosis. You can imagine. It's twice a day of injecting insulin. It's twice a day of getting a blood glucose reading. It's going to be more frequent doctor's checks. It can be pretty devastating to first get that news. This is like having a little buddy that can help you track your pet's health and give you little alerts as to, hey, this should be checked out. Okay, that's normal. I don't need to alert you. And then you hit the button after it's been programmed, and within 30 seconds, it's in your doctor's email. So I sent it to myself today, and I timed it. The email took about 20 to 30 seconds to get into my email, and it comes up as a spreadsheet, and the entire curve was there. And that's really, really, really helpful.
Absolutely.
To have that kind of communication with diabetics. Very helpful.
Absolutely. And what a wonderful tool for pet parents. I think, like you said, the overwhelming. We have a boxer who has cardiomyopathy, and she takes 5 pills a day. And of course, we have to monitor her heart rate frequently and things like that. And it, when she was first diagnosed, I had a notebook that I carried around, and we set alarms on our phone. And, you know, I think the same thing can be said for diabetes. There's so much to remember, and there's so much new information to try and learn, and just to have that open communication with your vet at all times is really fantastic. So, you know, I kind of jumped on this when it came across my desk, because it just seems like such a great tool for any pet owner who has an animal that's been diagnosed with diabetes.
I totally agree. I had the chance to play with it right before it got rolled out to the hospitals. I heard about it at a conference, and I had a chance to play with it. And then it got rolled out about 2 weeks ago to hospitals. And I just think that it serves the purpose of being the little assistant to the pet owner, reminding them of things, letting them know this is off, getting the information to the doctor quickly. You know, diabetes isn't like some of the diseases we treat where, you know, if you have a dog that has, let's just say, for sake of argument, inflammatory bowel disease, that is a serious condition. And yes, it needs to be treated and treated well, but something that's going to be life-threatening in the matter of a couple of hours probably isn't going to happen with inflammatory bowel disease, whereas a blood sugar reading of 47 can be life-threatening very quickly. So you definitely need to stay on top of these things, but to have a little support from this app that can connect you to your clinic or give you little reminders, hey, it's time for this, hey, it's time for this. You know, a lot of times we send people out to the clinic and I know they're overwhelmed. I can feel they're overwhelmed, and I try to give them as much support as I can, and so does my doctor, but I can't go home with them, but the app can. The app can absolutely go with them and help them and remind them. And if I didn't have this position and the knowledge that I had, and I was treating a diabetic pet, I would want as much help as possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know this is a tool that it seems like it's so far advanced from the other things that are out there. But are there other things that you recommend to pet owners who come in and like you said, they're just in that state of they're so overwhelmed and there's so much to learn. Are there any references or things that you recommend for them, especially in the beginning stages?
Yes, I always tell our pet owners to go to the alphatrackmeter.com website. There's great, great videos. Even if for some reason you're not using the AlphaTrack, if you're using another animal app, an animal blood acquisition tool, I still recommend going to the AlphaTrack Meter website and learning through videos. There's plenty of literature on there, and there's tools to help you learn how to use the monitor itself and why it's so important to track. I also spend a lot of time with my pet owners after a diagnosis. You know, my doctor obviously makes a diagnosis, and introduces a topic, but then I'm usually in there for about 45 minutes just talking to them about diabetes. And I would hope that, you know, pet owners have that kind of time with somebody to hold their hand and let them know. And if they don't, that's okay. There's other references available. Like I said, there's a lot of information out there online. My favorite site right now that I've found is the offatrackmeter.com website, because it has great tools and it teaches you how to use a device and explains why it is so important to track.
Great. I'll make sure that I link that in our show notes as well, so that anybody that is listening that wants to check that out can definitely do that really easily. I think that...
That'd be great.
Yeah, definitely. I think that going back to, you know, our dog and having that diagnosis, it is scary in the beginning. And I think one of the things that helps you kind of soothe you or makes you feel better as a pet owner is to get as much information as you can, because you're so scared in the beginning and there's so many things that you just don't know. So, you know, having any resources that you can get to try and figure out as much as you can is always beneficial. So I'll be sure to link that.
Absolutely. And I also recommend, you know, Google is a wonderful tool, but it doesn't always give you, it gives you websites, but you don't always know what websites are good and what websites maybe don't have the best information. So I would ask your veterinary team what sort of resources they recommend, and start doing some internet searches based on their recommendations. So that they know that they're going to reputable websites that can give them information. The other thing that we started in my last hospital in Coral Springs, Florida, was we developed a diabetic support group that met every other month. And it was literally like coffee and some cookies and about a dozen or so diabetic owners. And it was just a roundtable discussion about questions and ideas and experiences. It was really, really successful. And I do hope to launch it at the hospital that I'm at now in the next couple of months.
Oh, that's a wonderful tool. I think having people that are in your same shoes can be a huge help and a huge support. So that's kudos to you. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and I would hope other hospitals, I know that there are some hospitals that offer it, but, you know, people can always ask, is that something that this hospital would consider doing? Can I meet some other diabetic pet owners? Because there is strength and support. Exchanging of ideas. This is how I do this. This is how I do that. You know, we got a lot of answers, and we as the veterinary team learned a lot. So it was very, very successful. We learned so much from that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every pet's different. Like you said, you knew the lady with the cat who would just jump up there and give her paw, but that doesn't happen. That's one in a million, you know. So anybody with ticks and yeah.
Yes.
Anybody that can share tips and tricks for those dogs that are harder to handle. You know, we're very lucky with our boxer. She takes her pills fine, but we have a chocolate lab who takes supplements. It's only supplements, and it's so hard to give them to her. So, you know, every dog's different, and just getting together with some people that maybe have some stories to share, some ideas that they've tried that worked or haven't worked, that's absolutely a great benefit to parents that are trying to deal with a diabetic animal.
Absolutely. You know, the more the merrier, and everybody's in the same boat, whether it's a cat or a dog, they're all trying to understand the disease the best they can. You know, I would say that the single best tool, obviously after insulin, is blood monitoring and blood tracking. And that seems to be one of the biggest challenges that I face in teaching. And I've taught, I don't even know how many people how to do it, but that was one thing that our diabetic support group also did, is we did blood acquisition modules so that our owners could discuss the problems that they were having at home and we could work through them. What I find when we first diagnose these guys and we talk to the owners, the insulin isn't necessarily as scary as getting that blood sample. And it is a very daunting idea. I actually don't introduce it to them until they come back, usually the following week on recheck, because they're already so overwhelmed. And then when I introduce it, I spend time with them and I show them, and they usually, 90% of them do get it. And they're like, oh, I didn't realize it would be so easy. But the idea of having to get blood from their pet, you know, twice a day, sometimes more than that, is overwhelming. So I guess what I want to try to convey is it's very doable, and the website that I mentioned before, the Alpha Track website, does show videos, but also ask your veterinary nurses to show you how to do it, because it is a very simple thing to do once you get the hang of it, and it is a life saving tool. Absolutely a life saving tool.
Wonderful. That's great. Those are really the only questions that I had for you. But if there's anything about diabetes or the app or really anything that you want to discuss that we haven't discussed yet, absolutely feel free.
I did notice on the app that there's a tool to add medications, which I thought was really cool because you could even use it if your pet's not diabetic as reminders. You could set up calendars for their, like when their next appointments are due, when their flea and tick medication is due. So if you're somebody that works crazy hours like me, it actually serves as a little reminder tool, even if you don't have a diabetic animal. And I thought that was pretty handy. I'm going to be setting mine up this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would do it just like I said. We set alarms on our phone, but that's great. And I know the flea and tick medication, just whether you do it monthly or, you take the ingestibles that are every 6 months, sometimes that can be hard to remember. So that is
right,
definitely a beneficial tool.
Day.
Yeah.
Exactly. Ultimately, when it comes to diabetes, you need to have a great healthcare team that you trust. And you need to be open and willing to adjust your life to helping this animal, but it doesn't have to take over your life. And I think that's what people are afraid of, that they have this diabetic animal and, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to see a movie at 7 o'clock at night because I'm going to have to be home giving insulin to my pet. All of that can be worked out. You can still have a diabetic animal that is well controlled and have a life. It can be done. So I would just encourage people to stay open and ask lots of questions and work with your team and hopefully, get these animals into a really good state of diabetic control or, in case of cats, diabetic remission. But it does not have to be the end of your social life to have a diabetic animal.
I would agree with that, and that was something that, I do hear from other pet parents, is not just with diabetes, but a lot of health conditions can, take time and some effort on the owner's part to control. So that's definitely something to remind people that, you can still do the things that you need to do, whether it's work or your social life or whatever it might be, and make sure that your pet is cared for at the same time.
Yep, absolutely possible.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much again for your time. I really appreciate you speaking with us. I think this is a really important topic, and I'm excited to educate as many pet owners as possible about it.
It really was my pleasure. This is a topic that I'm very passionate about, and I applaud you for getting the word out there on this. I do agree with you 100%. We do need to increase awareness about veterinarian and dog and cat diabetic patients.
As always, I hope you guys learned as much from that conversation as I did. I can't say it enough that I think this is a topic that we really need to educate ourselves on and, help educate other pet parents as well, because it's something that, as Rachel mentioned, it's something that within just a matter of a few hours can be life-threatening. So if you know those signs, if you're looking for those things, some of the signs that she mentioned, like drinking a lot, peeing a lot, eating food but not necessarily gaining weight, those things you might think, he's just not feeling well today, or he's just a little dehydrated. So you kind of let it go because you don't want to go into the vet for a visit and spend $150 for your vet to tell you, I think he's just, not feeling well, give it a couple of days, or I think he's just a little dehydrated, so make sure you put plenty of water down. So you kind of wait that out. And if it's diabetes and you end up waiting it out, you could have some major problems in the long run. So I think it's something that we need to educate ourselves about, help educate other pet parents. Of course, if you have any questions, feel free to leave those on our website, which is theoryofpets.com. There is a section for comments and questions. You can type those comments and questions, or you can make a voice recording of those, and I may use them on a podcast in the future. So that would be really great if you want your chance to be on our podcast. And of course, if I don't know the answer to the question that you're asking, I will certainly find it for you and reach out to some of my contacts like Rachel Poulin and other experts in the industry to try and get that information for you. If it's a question that you're just curious about, of course, if it's a question that you're asking about your own pet and it's something that you need an answer on very quickly, you should certainly contact your veterinarian and see what they have for advice for you. Of course, there's show notes on our website as well. So if you jump on Theory of Pets, you can find all my old podcasts. And you can find the previous episodes as well as the show notes from all of those. You can find the show notes from this week and those links that we had talked about. If you're looking for more information on pet diabetes, there are a few links there that might give you some more information that are great references that Rachel had mentioned. And then, of course, you know, leave your comments and questions. I will be back next time with another episode for you guys. I appreciate you all listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take just a couple of minutes, jump on iTunes, and leave me a review. That will help me grow the podcast and be able to reach out to some more experts in the industry and get some of our questions answered. So if you could do that, I would really appreciate it. You can jump right on iTunes and do that. I will see you guys back next time. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it, guys. Have a great day.